You know I have to thank the praise team. Oh, that was I have to thank the praise team for keeping a song in our hearts and teaching us how to fight battles.
Yes.
Welcome to the church house.
Yes.
We bless you from the house of the Lord. That's Psalm 118, verse 26. I'm Sister Deaconess Rebecca Johnson, and I am happy to introduce our teaching pastor. Oh. Running for Christ Ministries is a church of teaching, learning, and doing. We are so grateful for spiritual food to increase our inner men, because if we don't eat spiritual food, our inner men will get weak. Let's listen with ears to ear, ears to hear, and get the meat of this word so we can have strength to fight. Today, Pastor O will deliver part 16 of an annual sermon, of a sermon series titled Romans, subtitled The Church and State. The text is from Romans 13, verses 1 through 7. So turn or click in your Bibles to Romans chapter number 13, verses 1 through 7, and I'll be reading from the NLT. In my Bible, the title is Paul Greets His Friends. I did it again, y'all.
That's okay.
That ain't the right. That's all right. I'm going to go get it. Romans 13, 1 through 7. All right. Everyone must submit to the title is Respect for Authority. Please forgive me. Everyone must submit to governing authorities, for all authority comes from God, and those in positions of authority have been placed there by God. So anyone who rebels against authority is rebelling against what God has instituted, and they will be punished. For the authorities do not strike fear in people who are doing right, but in those who are doing wrong.
Amen.
Would you like to live without fear of the authorities? Do what is right, and they will honor you. The authorities are God's servants, sent for your good. But if you are doing wrong, of course you should be afraid, for they have the power to punish you. They are God's servants, sent for the very purpose of punishing those who do what is wrong. So you must submit to them, not only to avoid punishment, but also to keep a clear conscience. Pay your taxes, too, for these same reasons. For government workers need to be paid. They are serving God in what they do. Amen. Let's receive Pastor O with open hearts as he delivers part 16 of a sermon series titled Romans, subtitled The Church and State. So church, repeat after me. Pastor O.
Pastor O.
Break it down for us.
It's all right then. Amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Blue Light Specials. Amen. Amen. Yeah, all the way to Kmart. Kmart Superstore. Blue Light Specials. Everybody need a Blue Light Special. Amen. We should say, I ain't seen this, but he's still crazy. Amen. Praise the Lord. Let's pray. Lord God, our Father, we give thanks today. Even though it's outside doing what you're doing, we ain't concerned about that. We feel like we're living in the snow globe. I think you like the snow globe. So you snow and shake it up, and here we go. But we thank you, Father, for being here. We thank you for giving us a mind to be here. And now that we are here, Lord, and we thank you for the praise team who led us in participation and singing praises to you. We thank you for them. And now, Father, it's time for the preached word. Let this word go forward. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Repeat after me. Say, Lord.
Lord.
Bless my ears.
Bless my ears.
So they hear your word today.
And bless my heart.
So it receives your word today.
Your word today.
Because I acknowledge to you that my ways and thoughts, they're not like yours. But I am here today to be transformed, to change the way I think to the way you think, so I can always know your good, pleasing, and perfect will for my life. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. I still got a little bit of Dennis coffee, so y'all, amen. Some of y'all don't even know Dennis Coffee. Y'all don't know him. No, he's a guitar player, amen. From way back in the day, he could really play, amen. But y'all don't know him. I can tell by Crystal Face, you don't know him, amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. Yeah, scaring everybody, right? That's how I get my way in the store. I get behind somebody, get in the line, and they be like, oh, you, come on. Amen. And she'd really be praying for you, Eric. She would be like, Eric, be right there on the front seat. You just be coughing all over him at Christmas. They should stay sick. No, Jesus wouldn't let me come back to church until I was uninfectious. Amen. That's why I had to miss that Sunday. You don't know how it feels when you have to miss and Jesus telling you to stay home and you talking about, I want to go. And he's like, no, dude, really? You go to church 52 times a year, so. Plus with Blog Talk Radio, that's 104 times a year, so. You're all right. You can miss one. I give you one, two, when y'all go to Mackinac. Amen? Praise the Lord. Amen. So we dealt with the book of Romans, and we're back. We left in November because we had to do faith, finances, and you. And then we had to do God's plan for life and family, right? And so when we left, we were in part number 15. That does not mean chapter 15, just part 15. We left off in chapter 12. And you know, I've been helping you guys remember this book because this book, Romans, is what we need big time in these days and times to help people. And so we're going to review what we've been through. Amen? Now, you know, in the beginning, we reviewed each chapter by itself. But then we connected chapters that talked about the same thing. And so from chapter 1 to chapter 3, verse 19, in chapter 1, Paul makes it clear. I am not ashamed of the what? Because it's the power of God, what? To reconcile us to himself. So I'm not ashamed of that. Paul also said, because I am the apostle to the Gentiles, I feel what? Obligated to write to this church in Rome, amen, that he has never met these people. So he wants to write to them to introduce himself and to let them know how we're made right with God and how we live out this Christian life. And so after that, he moved in on the Gentiles. These are people who are not Jews. They weren't God-fearers. They weren't proselytes to Judaism. So they ain't know the Lord. But Paul said, ignorance of the Lord is no excuse. You will not be able to stand in front of God and say, you can't send me to hell because I don't know you and I ain't never heard the word. But the Lord says in verse 18 that God himself has made it plain, his existence, his Godhead. You can see it in creation. If you think man created something, then it would have fell apart when that man died. Amen. If man was running the sun, it'd fall out the sky when he died. Unless they got a pact to pass it on to the next man. You run the sun. You make it come up and go down in a 24-hour course, right? Amen. So God says he has made knowledge of him plain. You can look at creation. There'll be, and we found some witnesses, right? Enoch, what church did he go to? Oh, who was his pastor? What Bible did he read? Amen. How did he find God? How did he get so close? Go ahead, preacher, say that. How did he get so close to God that God said, come on up here to heaven? He ain't had no conflict. He ain't had no conference for 3, 4, 5 days. Amen. He didn't have to get on the plane and go nowhere, but he got that close to God. So God says, look, I got Noah. What church Noah go to? Nobody's church. Amen. Who was this pastor? Amen. Well, how did he get so close to God when the whole rest of the world had turned away from God? How was Noah able to stay with God? See, God reveals himself. And Noah accepted that revelation. And what he knew about God, he walked in it. When God said, we was talking about that in the back, when God said, build the ark. I think we got that from you. I know, you know, what is an ark?
Yeah.
That would have been like, it's like, it's going to be a big boat. What is a boat? Okay, and I need you to build it right here because it's going to rain. What is rain? Amen. But Noah established such a relationship with God that God took him. Amen. Amen. So in chapter 1, ignorance of the law is no excuse. And then we talked about chapter 2. Chapter 2 talks about to the Jews. It addresses those who think religion going to get them to heaven. Amen. I got a Bible on my coffee table. I know I'm going to heaven. I got one in my car. That's why people won't steal it. Hallelujah. I know I'm going. My mama and daddy were saved and my uncles and aunties too. I know I'm going to heaven. No, that's not what's going to do. What gets you in heaven? A personal belief in Jesus Christ. And so when we get through with chapter 2, God tells the Jews, you got two problems. Number one, I ain't get a law to save you. And number two, you're not keeping it anyway. So that, and so verse 19 in chapter 3 says, obviously the law was given to those who God gave it to. And he ends it by saying, no flesh will be justified in God's sight, what? Through the law. And so that left the whole world guilty. Verse 9 to 19, the indictment is read and everybody is found guilty. There is how many good? None. Not one. They have all together become what? Unprofitable. Amen. So nobody, the Jews who was hallelujahing over the Gentiles, you're going to hell too. And the Gentiles is like, see, you ain't no better than me. You're going to hell too. I don't care if you did get the law. You don't keep it. And God didn't give it to save you. It was just a what? A babysitter. God gave us the law to show us our need for what? A savior. Because when you make the, see, I don't make people, they're not my standard bearer or setter. Okay, I don't look at people. I look at God's word. And if it's the standard, then I'm lost. There's no way for me to be saved. But verse 20 begins a whole new conversation. And that conversation says, but God found a way to make us right with himself. How? Through his son, Jesus Christ.
Amen.
And so then we picked up some phrases like righteousness by faith. Not righteousness by works. But righteousness by faith. The just shall live by what? Faith. And so you put chapters 1, 2, and 3 together, and that's what you get. And then you throw in chapter 3, 20 to the end, chapter 4 and 5, and guess what you get? Justified. Abraham was justified. Why? Because he believed God. And so we today are Abraham's children. Why? Because we believe God. And because we believe Genesis 3:16, God does what? Accrues, accredits righteousness to us. He did the work. He saved our souls. Amen.
Amen.
It's impossible to please God without what?
Faith.
Faith. And faith says that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son that whosoever believes in him won't perish but have what?
Everlasting life.
And why will people go to hell? Amen. You know why people are going to go to hell? Verse 18 says, they have not believed God's report concerning his only begotten son. Another verse in there, 17, says, God did not send his son into the world to condemn the world, but through his son we might be saved. Amen. And the verdict is read in 20 and 21. Why did people run to darkness? Why did people not accept Christ? Because they were evil. And their deeds were evil. And they don't want to come to the, how many thieves y'all know try to bust up in the house in broad daylight? Amen. How many people come try to steal the tires off your car in broad daylight? And you sitting on the porch. Amen. No, they be sneaking around at night hoping your ring don't ring or work. Amen. 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 So we are justified just as if we never sinned because we believe God. Amen. And chapter 5 gets even deeper. It starts out by saying, since we are justified by faith, by believing what God says, guess what else we got? We have peace with God. So we connect chapter 3, verse 20, to the end of chapter 5. Righteousness by faith, justified by faith, peace with God. Then we come to chapter 6, 7, and 8. Now that we are made right with God, we're put right with God, right? Now we got to start living and walking in the Word according to the Word, right? Chapter 6 tells us we're no longer slaves to sin. And at the bottom of chapter 6, it tells us that we are slaves to who? Jesus Christ in righteousness. So there needs to be a transformation taking place. I cussed 100 times before I met Jesus every day. But I'm saved now, Lolo. I mean, Deaconess Loretta, well, I'm saved now, so I only cuss 98 times. I'm getting better. Amen. And tomorrow, I hope I only cuss 95 times. I'm getting better. In other words, our salvation is a progressive work that the Holy Spirit does in us until we get to heaven. So don't ever think you're going to find a perfect Christian. And if somebody tell you they're perfect, you know, just go ahead and say, can we pray? Lord Jesus, they possessed with a lying demon. Amen. Amen. A lying demon. A delusional demon. A confused demon. Help them, Jesus. I'm going to pour all this. I just bought it from the store. That virgin olive oil all over them, Jesus. Let it just run all over them. Amen. Throw some holy water on them. No, Jesus, they might cut like the devil. Oh, it burns. Amen. Amen. So, we have an obligation. That's not to sin, but to God. To start living for Him. Let His word become the standard. When you get ready to do something, see what the Lord say. Now, that all sounds good, right, person? Yeah. I mean, Mother... Amen, Mother Betty. That sounds good, don't it? But then chapter 7 say, wait a minute. Something wrong. The conundrum is happening. I love Jesus. I don't know why I slapped him like that. I love Jesus. I should not have cussed him out, Mother, like that. I love Jesus. I don't know why they're giving me a ticket for going 100 miles an hour down 15th Street. When I would do good, what? Evil is always present. So we find out that our flesh is not saved. Our spirit loves the Lord. But our soul, our mind, our will, and our emotions has to decide. Which one of these are we going to listen to? Am I going to follow my new nature that's filled with the Holy Spirit? Or am I going to do what I used to do? Am I going to turn up like I used to turn up? Amen. People ought to notice you different. They ought to know you're not perfect. But they ought to see something different about you. They ought to feel like, you know, I can look at you and kind of see Jesus. Amen. Kind of. Because we ain't perfect. Amen. You might see Jesus today, tomorrow. Jesus might be way over there. And I'm like, what's up? Amen. Amen. But that's our walk. So chapter 7 tells us there's a conundrum, right? We'll be up. Old folks made it real plain. Their theology was sometimes up, sometimes down. Almost level to the ground. They figured it out. They didn't quite get it the way a seminary student might have said that. But they got it. The theology was totally correct. It was old folks who started saying, only what you do for Christ gonna last. Amen. That's why I listen to them. Amen. They done walk through life. We're coming behind them. A crazy person don't listen to old. Now, you got some old fools. Okay, but you'll find that out real quick. But you find somebody who's been down the road you've been down, then I need to ask you about that road, because they've been down the road. They know where the potholes are. They know where the police hanging out. Yep. We shouldn't even have to know that if we're living right. Amen. But they've been down that road. Amen. So chapter 7 tells us, look, it's going to be a walk. Sometimes we're going to be all in for Jesus. Other times this is not so much. But we should progressively get better. Chapter 8 tells us, it assures us, chapter 8, you need to read Romans chapter 8 so you can be encouraged. It starts out by saying, there is no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. None. Not even a scintilla of condemnation will come out of Jesus' mouth toward you. Why? Because you're saved. But that walking in the Spirit. He tells us if we follow after the Holy Spirit, we're following after what? Life. But when we follow after our own thinking, our flesh, what? Death. So the choice is always ours. Do I walk in the Holy Spirit and reap life? Or do I just revert to my own thinking and my own ways? Amen. You know, what he said. What does he say over there in Proverbs chapter 3? Lean not to what? But in all your ways? And he'll do what? So we can live that life, or we can go to our own thinking. Amen. Amen. But chapter 8 gets gooder and gooder. In verse 17, it tells... Amen. Amen. The college students back there are like, what? Gooder and gooder. Amen. Chapter verse 17 says, we are now what? Heirs of God and joint heirs with Jesus Christ. But there's the suffering part. There's the suffering part. Amen. But he assures us, amen, that nothing can separate us from the love of God. So no matter what we go through on this walk from heaven to earth, no matter what happens, remember, it cannot separate you from the love of God. It cannot defeat the love God has for you. I don't care what it is. If he allowed the devil to do it, if you doing it, some demon brought it to you, it cannot separate you from the love of God. The prodigal son is a beautiful picture of that, right? Took off from his daddy's house, had all his own money, going to turn up in the clubs. Excuse me. Found a bunch of new friends, spent up all that money, and then he found out he didn't find no friends. He found some people. Okay. Amen. And then he just sank down. After his money ran out, he had to go get a job in a foreign land because he's too embarrassed to go back home right now. Y'all know how it is. We don't like to get right up after we sin. Amen. We try to reason that thing out. We try to make it make sense. But it ain't making no sense. So sooner or later, he did what? He came to his what?
Senses.
Amen. Ain't it good to know that the Lord God got a word planted in us? And no matter how far out there that we get, guess what? He got a word planted in us like a magnet. And we're going to feel that pull. So when he came to his senses, he didn't say, you know, I'm going to get a better job than this one. And I'm going to stay right here and build me a house and live down here. Oh, no. He got senses and said, in my Father's house. When we recognize that there was a point in time in our life when we was walking with the Lord, it wasn't like this. Amen. In my Father's house, there's a whole lot of room. Amen. And so he got up, went back home. And how did the father act? Come on. Now, some of us is the older brother. Some of us, we see Christians come back to church who've been out for a while. We turn into the older brother, and we ain't even going to sit on the side of the church. I'm going to stand outside, and then I got to go out there and say, why are you standing out here? I know I saw them in the street. I saw what they were doing, and they were doing it on purpose. I was in the club. What was you doing in the club? I was in the club, and I saw them turned up like a light. Well, now they're coming back here in the church talking about, I'm coming to Jesus. You ain't coming to Jesus out there. Some of us got the older brother syndrome. Amen. We can't let Jesus love somebody back into the house of God. That father told him, you ought to be happy. Number one, you got everything. He done prayed. He's under you now. His living is dependent upon you now. And it's right for us to celebrate. Your brother was dead. But now he's come back to life and you man. Amen. You need to get your heart right. You need to take a trip to the far country. Get your mind right. Amen. Come to your senses. Amen. Chapters 9, 10, and 11 seem like chapters out of place. Because if you follow Paul and his writings, he always gives a theological treatise. He's always laying out theologically what God says. Then he gives practical application. Then he shows you how to implement it in your everyday life. But here in the book of Romans, he gets into a discussion about Israel. We talked about three words, didn't we? We talked about election, rejection, and restoration. Okay. Amen. In other words, God gave Israel the word. He met with them, made them a nation, and made them his envoys, what, to the nation, his ambassadors to the world. Go out there and show them how to live for me versus the pagan gods they're living with. And if one of them want to become you, they have to go become a proselyte to Judaism. That means, according to the covenant that God had made at that time with Abraham, he said that if somebody wants to roll with you because they like the way y'all worship, they like me, they want to get to know me, then they have to become a proselyte to Judaism. They have to be circumcised. No matter what age they are, that is a sign in the foreskin that connects them to God, that makes them, just like baptism makes us a member of the team, amen, covenant, the circumcision made them a member of the team. Of course, today we deal with a spiritual circumcision versus a physical circumcision. We are known as God's children because we're filled with the Holy Spirit, not because our flesh been cut, amen. So he says God elected them. God chose them. But they what? Rejected him. Chapter 10 talks about they're going about to establish their own righteousness. Could you imagine that? You're going to try to please a perfect God in your own strength, in your own mind, with your own thoughts. Every day you live, you hold your life up to God and say, isn't this awesome? Don't you just accept this? Doesn't this make me right with you? The Lord will be like, you did one thing right today. The rest of the day was okay. So, you know, that's not going to work. Amen. That's not going to work. So chapter 10 talks about verse 17 again is a consequential verse. It say, consequently what? Faith comes by what? Hearing what? The word of God. And they weren't really receiving it. But then chapter 11 tells us there's restoration coming. God's going to restore. And if you read chapter 11 right, you see God's mind concerning the future. He is allowing you to come into his mind and see the future that God has planned. During the tribulation period, there will be 144,000 Jews on the planet preaching. The church has been raptured out. If you're a believer in Christ right now, you will not be here during the tribulation period. I don't care who tells you you will. They're mixed up. The church will be raptured out according to Thessalonians 4:13 through 18. And you can read about the times right now that we're living in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. Amen. But during that time, there'll be 144,000 Jews on the planet that's preaching the word of God. And guess what? They're going to reach the children of Israel, and they're going to come in. And that's what the Lord calls that remnant over in Romans chapter 11. Amen. Now, in chapter 12, amen, we left. That's where we left off, right? We give our bodies to God. And then we give our minds to God. So what? The transformation can take place. This is how God's going to transform you by changing the way you think about everything. God's word has a word in it about everything. And you may have these thoughts about relationships. Well, read the Bible and see what God says about relationships. And see if your thoughts match. In all your ways, what? And he will what? Now, if he tells us all our ways, that means there is a word in the Bible for any way we're planning on going. Anything that we're planning on doing, God has what? A word. And we should seek that word out. Other than that, what are we doing? Our own thing. Not God's way. And you can't expect God to make you bless your mess. Amen. He will not bless your mess. I don't care if you have that sign all over your house. He is not going to bless your mess. He'll bless you up out your mess. Amen. Chapter 12 tells us if God has given you a gift to work in the body of Christ, then use that gift. But don't get the big head like you somebody special, like you different than all other Christians. You in the same body they in. They might be the hand, you might be the eye, but guess what? Y'all need each other. You might be the feet, they might be the head, but guess what? Y'all need each other. If you don't believe me, mess up a part of your body and see if the whole body don't get involved in that. Stub your little bitty toe and see if your whole body don't say, ouch. Tell your eyes, watch where y'all going. Amen. Got my toe all tore up. And the leg, you saw that thing. Why you let it walk into that? Amen. And then he closes it out by saying, be a Christian. That's basically what he's talking about at the end of chapter 12. Don't be running around here trying to take vengeance on people. Don't be running. Leave. The Lord said, vengeance is whose? I will repay. That's the part you need to hear. I will repay. So they are not going to get away with what they did to you. But pray for them that God don't have to punish them. They come to their senses and get it right. Be like Jesus. What would he do? He, rather than wanting to punish somebody, he would want to fix them. I mean, when you watch them Gospels, you see that everything he said and everything he did was to bring them in. Now, in John's Gospel, if you watch that, the DVD, the Gospel of John, Jesus seemed like he pretty tough and rough up in there. Like he ain't taking no shorts. But that is the way he has to deal with those people. That is the best way to bring them in. That is the best move he could make to get them to understand. And the Lord says, look, if you got enemies, feed them. If they thirsty, give them something to drink. They're hungry, give them some food. In doing that, you are affecting their conscience. He calls it heaping coals of fire on their head. You're reaching into that conscience to get them to what? Change. To recognize their wrong. That's what he wants. Because that's God. You know, every time I get around some people, especially people I'm not really liking, hey, let's talk to them. Oh, see, why you gotta, I shouldn't even came in here. Amen. He wanna save everybody. There's nobody out of his reach. I mean, would you save somebody who is murdering Christians? Would you save somebody who is tearing up Christian families and throwing them in jail? And then they so hyped up and crazy, amen, thinking they doing God's will, amen, that they get warrants to go to Damascus, a foreign city, and get Christians there. But what did Jesus do? He met him on the road to Damascus. Hit his Jeff, he slapped him so hard he couldn't even see no more. Slapped his, he did what I pay, I'm gonna knock your sight out. He did it, knocked his sight out. Took him down to a man named Judas' house on Straight Street. Sent a Christian down there named Ananias, not an apostle, not some great pastor, some great preacher, but a man who was a worshiper of Jesus Christ in Damascus named Ananias. And after Jesus confirmed that he's a chosen vessel to me, he went. Amen. And then we come to Romans chapter 13. And I'm all out of time today. Praise God. No, sorry about that. Amen. Now, in Romans 13 is where we get the church and state. And what's going on in our world today, the church needs to stand up. When my people called by my name turn, he didn't never say when the world except Jesus Christ start living for Christ. No, he said when my people, I'll heal the land. Is our land tore up today? The orange menace is on the wild. Amen. The Lord, he won't let me call his name, but I call him by what he does. Amen. When my mother picked my name, she picked a name that represented what I would be doing. In German, it means the tip of the spear. It means spiritual warrior for the Lord. And that, now, if you had met me before 1975, you'd say, oh, he was a devil. He is a whole devil. I believe in the turn red and blow a tail and some horns. He's a devil. But then, late fall 75, I became what my name represents. Amen. So, the Orange Menace. Amen. And this is some serious stuff. Because see, look, America rejected Jesus. Kamala Harris belongs to the Community Baptist Church in San Francisco. She regularly met with her pastor on a regular basis. She wasn't even going to run for president until he told her, go ahead and run. But he gave a little warning to go with that. And she probably didn't understand that. She probably thought she was going to win. But no, we're coming up on the tribulation period, y'all. How many times Jonathan got to tell us time ain't long? How many times Pastor Tay got to tell us that before we stick in our head that all this stuff that we see happening? If you read 2 Thessalonians chapter, well, why don't we read that? Go ahead, Rebecca feel like reading. See, that's where that came from. She done put that in my head. See, like, he up there preaching, ain't gonna even include me. I thought I was gonna be included. Amen. She gonna read 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 and several of those verses. And I want you to hear tell me if we're not living in those times. It's not gonna get gooder. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, 1, and then I'll tell you when to stop.
Now, dear brothers and sisters, let us clarify some things about the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ and how we will be gathered to meet him. Don't be so easily shaken or alarmed by those who say that the day of the Lord has already begun. Don't believe them, even if they claim to have had a spiritual vision, a revelation, or a letter supposedly from us. Don't be fooled by what they say, for that day will not come until there is a great rebellion against God and the man of lawlessness is revealed, the one who brings destruction. He will exalt himself and defy everything that people call God and every object of worship. He will even sit in the temple of God, claiming that he himself is God. Don't you remember that I told you about all this when I was with you? And you know what is holding him back, for he can be revealed only when his time comes. For this lawlessness is already at work secretly, and it will remain secret until the one who is holding it back steps out of the way. Then the man of lawlessness will be revealed, but the Lord Jesus will slay him with the breath of his mouth and destroy him by the splendor of his coming.
Yes. Amen. That is where we are at right now. I am not saying that the Orange Menace is the Antichrist. He is not. He ain't even smarter. Amen. The devil would be like, oh no, I need somebody smarter than that. Amen. Like, yeah, homie can't work for me. He brain dead. I need somebody, amen, who's really smart. And we know that the Antichrist, most biblical scholars who study eschatology all the time, they know they have agreed that the Antichrist will come out of Europe. The Antichrist could be alive and well today, okay? But as she just read to us, when he is revealed, then the church, what? Is taken out. So when the Antichrist comes to power, the church will be taken out. Who is it that's holding back the devil from doing everything he wants to do? It is the church filled up with the Holy Spirit. I'm not talking about the building, I'm talking about the people, the body of Christ. We are causing him not to be revealed yet. He's being held back while we preach the word of God to unsaved folks. And when the last person to be saved gets saved before the rapture, then the church will be taken out and the Antichrist will come to power. We go out, he comes in. Amen?
Amen.
And so, in Romans chapter 13, it talks to us, it speaks to us about how we are to relate to our government. Now, the age of government or the dispensation of government begins in Genesis chapter 11 in the plains of Shinar. If you'll remember when Moses, when God reestablished the covenant with Noah, he told him to be the same thing he told Adam: be fruitful, multiply, increase in number, and subdue the earth. But they go to the plains of Shinar in Genesis chapter 11, and they all cahoot together and say, we're going to make a name for ourselves right here. So they built a giant obelisk that would represent that. And the Lord said to them, the man has become like us. And what did God mean? He meant a whole lot in that, but one thing I want you to get is they've become a government. They become self-governing. And even though I told them to inhabit the whole earth, they've cahooped it up together here in the plains of Shinar. So let us, talking about God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, let us go down and confound their language, not their color. Let us confound their language. God said, the man has become like one of us, and now nothing that they imagine to do will be impossible to them. Did you hear God tell us the power of unity? Oh, you want to scare the devil? He will not mess with a unified church. He will not mess with a Christian who is correctly unified with Jesus. Because he know he can't disturb that. And God said it out of his own mouth, the man has become like who? Us, the Trinity. And now nothing that they imagine to do will be impossible to them. Oh, what if we as a people could come together like that? What if we as human beings could come together like that? What if the church, the body of Christ, could come together like that?
Amen.
Nothing that we read in the Word of God and set out to do will be impossible for us. Wasn't it the Lord who told us, my word will not return to me what? Void, vapid, empty, space, right? It won't return to me having not accomplished what I sent it out to do. What happens when we believe God? And so, how do we relate to our government? Amen. It's easy. Our government is just that. It's a government. You see, what gets me is Christians seem to believe Jesus won't America for some reason. I saw this movie one time, God bless America and nowhere else. I was cracking up. My man kept saying that. God bless America and nowhere else. Are you kidding me? This thing didn't start in America. This thing started where? In the Middle East. When Jesus comes back, he's coming back to the Mount of Galilee. Guess what? That ain't on 19th Street. That ain't even in America. Amen. But we got this thing in our head that America is so awesome, the Lord wants it. Are you kidding me? We are the Christians that the Lord have assigned to be witnesses for him in America.
That's good.
And so God says, obey your government. I set that up so y'all might have order in society. The age of government has existed from Genesis 11 to this day. In my book back there on that table, Biblical Giving, if you have that book, read about the dispensations and the covenants. Because that's how God deals with us. And most Christians don't know how God deals with us because they don't know the dispensations of time and they don't know the covenants of God. Amen. They don't know that some people connect themselves to the Old Testament covenant. Are you kidding me? Christ came to me. Uh-oh, the kids is coming. They like, you too, Pastor. You too. It's a wrap. Sarah done stood up. Praise God. We'll pick this up again next week. Amen. But today I want you to go home knowing, amen, that God expects us to honor the government. Except, how many of y'all remember Hananiah, Azariah, and Mishael? How many of y'all remember Daniel, Esther, Joseph? These are people that worked in civil government and governments that were hostile to them. Amen. But what did each one of them do? They didn't become a part of it. They made it become a part of God. The Hebrew boys started out in chapter 1 saying, we're not eating your governmental scraps. Okay? And God blessed them. We're not bowing down to your little fake God out there. And God blessed them. We are not going to stop praying. And what? God blessed them. Esther took over the Medo-Persian Empire. Even though they had strict protocols about this, that, and the other, she took over. And her cousin Mordecai ran that thing. So God does not want us to fight against the government. But when the government disagrees with God, that's when we have to be brave enough to stand up. I remember Reverend Jerome Barlow. He was the first person I ever heard preach about the Hebrew boys. And he said, no stooping at standing time. That's what God wants from us, church. He don't want us bowing down to the world. And he definitely don't want us running around here scared of the orange menace. He do not want to see one Christian talking about, help me, Jesus, the orange menace is coming. He don't, Nebuchadnezzar bowed down to who? The Hebrew boys. Belshazzar had to bow down to who? Daniel. Lord God, our Father, we give thanks to you today, and we praise your holy name. Father, we thank you for government, because you gave government to keep order in society. We thank you for police departments everywhere. Father, you know I'm always amazed with them. When everybody is running away, they trying to break their way through the crowd to get to where the trouble at. Father, when everybody running out the house because the house on fire, firemen is running up in there to put it out. So I thank you, Heavenly Father, for these civil servants that you have, especially the ones that work for you, the ones that you're blessing to bring peace and order in society. And you know, Lord, I pray for the city where I live, for the mayor, the council, the police, and the fire, and everybody who work in that city down there. You said that we should pray for those who have the rule over us, that things might go well with us. You said when evils is ruling, then terror is in the land. But when those who are holy and righteous rule, and peace is in the land. So help us, Father, to understand. Give thanks to you first for government, because it creates order in society. And let us pray for those who are in government that say they belong to you, but they go down there to Washington and act like the Speaker of the House, who runs down there and hangs out with the orange menace, bowing down to him, rejecting you in form and fashion. And then talk about he's some big old Christian. Jesus, we need some Hebrew boys. We need some Esther, some Deborahs. Yeah. We need some Bathshebas.
Yeah.
We need these kind of men and women who call themselves Christians to be Christians in the culture. You said, Lord, in your word, in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verses 11 and 12, you told us to make it our ambition to lead a quiet life, to mind our own business, to work with our own hands. You said that we would get the respect of those who are on the outside, and we wouldn't be dependent on anybody. Jesus, folks, is acting like the orange menace is Jehovah Jireh. They're acting like he our provider. They act like he can take away food, he can take away water, he can take away clothes. You told us not to be anxious for that stuff, but to seek your kingdom and your righteousness, and all these things will be added to us. Help us to get it right in this government, Lord. In Jesus' name, let us live the life you called us to in front of them. You said, if you be lifted up, you'll draw. Bless us, Lord, to live the lifted up life. In your name we pray and give you thanks. Amen.
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 Good. Good. Yeah.
Do like Christmas stuff right there.